G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 23. John Barker and Joel Marshall joining you as usual. Joel, it's the climax of the Caulfield Carnival and three absolutely cracking Group 1 races. Meanwhile in Sydney, a couple of great colts coming back.
Yeah, no, really exciting weekend of racing. As you mentioned, three Group 1s at Caulfield. Oakley Plate, usually a real wide open race, and we've got a massive field and you can make a case for plenty of them, but there is going to be a shorty Nature Strip around the $2.20 mark, so a very warm favourite. Elise, well, yeah, she is dominating betting for the Futurity around the $2.50, $2.60, but I guess barrier 11 of 12 and there are a few other chances in the race, so that's pretty wide open. I think the Blue Diamond, definitely the most wide open of the three Group 1s. You can just make a case for many of them. There doesn't seem to be a dominant two-year-old at this stage. So, yeah, plenty of chances there. And looking forward to Sydney, as you mentioned. Good to see the autumn sun back off. Well, a lot of people have just questioned his trials. I think they've been more than satisfactory for a horse that's going to be kicking off over 1,400, which is what he is doing on Saturday. And well, one of his main rivals, Gem Song, is out, so that makes his task just that little bit simpler.
All righty, we'll take you right through the Caulfield card to start with, because it's all black type, and in fact, bar race one, it's all group racing. Race one is listed. It is the Ladbrokes Mornington Cup Prelude over 2,000 metres.
Sikandarabad, for me, should get punters off to a very good start. I think Black Figures should be a spoil. He, I think, is still a chance for the Australian Cup. They've probably elected to go here rather than maybe get beaten by Avilius again. But I reckon he's just come back a much better horse this prep in his second Australian campaign. And yeah, I think he'll be too strong for this lot. Three midterm in for second. Four Call Me Handsome can be an improve up in trip. And one Jarmay next best. But very keen on Sikandarabad.
Yeah, same with me. I'm with you, Joel. Sikandarabad from midterm. I'm a princess and Magna Pal, so 2, 3, 5, 8 for me. Race two, Heritage Finance Caulfield Autumn Classic for the three-year-olds at set weights over 1,800 metres at Group 2 level.
Yeah, I went for three Declares War, giving him another chance off that just a fair effort first up off a bit of a freshen there over the 1,400 chasing home Hawkshot. The speed wasn't great. Never really had a chance to get into it, but up to 1,800 definitely looks a positive for him. One Arameo was pretty good in that same race. Further should suit. Gets the blinkers on as well. 11 in for third, Boomstock. He won a debut, won on debut at Warrnambool, won well, went to Sandown and was pretty good there off a muddling tempo. And in for fourth, number 9, Global Exchange. Good win first up. It was only a benchmark 58, didn't beat much, but he's a nice colt by Dundeal, heading in the right direction.
Arameo for me. You know that I love the weights specials in this sort of set weights race, and Arameo would be giving him 7 kilos and more in a free handicap. So Arameo very much for me from the Tasmanian Derby winner Cossetot, and I've got Declares War and Secret Blaze. In fact, I've gone in ratings order with the males. 1, 2, 3, 4. Race three, Joel, is the Premier Signs Mannerism Stakes. This is for the mares, 4 years old and up, 1,400 metres.
Yeah, well, Savatiano scratched here. I think they're electing to run in Sydney, which looked a harder race to my eye. But, yeah, she's out from Melbourne. So it's left me with I Am A Star on top. Look, she may still need another run before showing her absolute best, but she certainly did enough first up at 1,200. Drawn tricky, so that's a bit of a question mark as well. So yeah, a little bit up in the air I am with this race, but I've gone with I Am A Star to beat 11 Supre. Lightly raced mare, first start for the Freeman camp in the Quinella 7 of 9. This is her toughest test to date, but I think she's got more to offer. 8 Nantali, very honest mare, and in for 4th, number 2 Spanish Reef was pretty good first up in the same race as I Am A Star.
Well, like you, Joel, I was keen on Savatiano. Not quite so keen on I Am A Star, who I've also been left with. But look, she's very honest, very rarely runs a bad race. And again, on the weights, is a Group 1 winner, 4 kilos above the minimum here. So happy to end up with her. Not deliriously happy, but yeah, I've got I Am A Star on top from Nantali Spanish Reef for third, and Teleplay maybe a bit of each way value for fourth, 1826. Race four is the Fillies division over 1400. This one's a Group Two. It's the Ladbrokes Angus Armanasco Stakes.
I'm going with 12 Princess Jenny here. They've elected to wait a couple of weeks after having her in a Caulfield a fortnight ago. She trialled really well at Cranbourne recently. Liked what she did in her first prep. High shap out of a Zabil mare, so you would say she's going to get out over further, but I think 1400 first up should be fine. Two Angelic Ruler, the real X factor in the race, the Perth mare. She's won 5 from 9, never run badly. She's very warm in the market, so the bookies like her. Definitely got to keep her on side. 5 News Girl's done a really good job this prep, only cracked the code, has beaten her at her last two. She's got to get 1400. She also might get a pretty comfortable run on the pace here. I think she's also entered for Albury, the Championships qualifier, and Moonee Valley, so watch where she goes. And 3 Quafila took on some pretty decent races in the spring and did run some nice races among them. You look at her record, 12 goes, 1 win, 1 second, but she's a much better filly than that strike rate suggests.
Quite keen on the Perth filly here, Angelic Ruler, number 2, as you mentioned, is short enough, but is another one who, at the weights, seems pretty well treated. Street Icon is another one who's on the up, number 9 for third, and unbeaten for that matter. Queen Ladiva I've got for third, number 6, and for 2, another one who's well in the weights, number 1. For fourth, I thought I had Princess Jenny in there somewhere, but I don't. So 2, 9, 6, and 1. Race 5, Ladbrokes Zetative Stakes. 3-year-old colts and geldings. Group 3 over the 1,200. And we see the return of Zusane. Joel up against Tin Hat, who's got the race fitness edge and has been winning everything. And Terbium, who is building quite the picket fence.
Well, here's one for your ratings. Zusane will be giving them just stacks of weight here. He deserves to be put on top, I think. Just got all the Group 1 form, 3 Group 1 seconds. I thought the Newmarket was the goal for this bloke, so I'm not sure whether they're still planning on backing him up a week later, but he really should be very hard to beat. He's been trialling well in Sydney. I've gone his way, and I've thrown Yulong January in for second. He did a really good job in his first prep. Probably snuck under the radar a little bit, went to Sydney and won, and his only sort of bad run was at the end of the prep, and it certainly wasn't a disgraceful effort, so he may well have improved. 2 Tin Hat, as you said, he's the fit horse in form, has plenty of pace, and 5 Poised to Strike. I was keen on him against Tin Hat last start. Just okay, seemed to have his chance, but maybe the blinkers can sharpen him up.
Yes, well, you're quite right. I've actually gone against my ratings mantra here and gone with Tin Hat because of the fitness factor, because of the odds factor, and because Zusane was meant to nommed for that lightning last week and did have a slight setback, so I guess that's some sort of query. However, as you point out, I can tell you that in fact Tin Hat will be getting 11 kilos off of Zusane in a free handicap. But I've got Tin Hat on top of Zusane, the unbeaten Terbium third, and Irukandji for fourth. So that makes it 2, 1, 7, and 3. Race 6, first of the Group 1s, Yulong Futurity Stakes, 1,400 metres, weight for age, 500,000.
I've gone with 3 Brave Smash, last year's winner of the race. Always does tend to need a run. He had that run at Moonee Valley and then improved in the Oar. He had a lovely run just behind the moderate tempo there, and he loomed to win. Just wanted to lay in a little bit too, which certainly didn't help, and he ended up getting nutted on the line for third. He just should be peaking now. Third up, he's just going to get a lovely run soon. If they don't go hard, he won't be far off them. And blinkers on. They've done the trick with this horse before. So Brave Smash for me. From 11, Elise just smashed them in the expressway, didn't she? Ran some brilliant late splits to towel up Le Romain and Trapeze Artist. So she just looks to have gone to a new level this prep. She was already a gun mare. 7 in for third, Land of Plenty. He was super in the Oar, hit the line hard. And 8 Best of Days, next best. He will strip fitter for that first up run.
Yeah, Elise for me, drawn wide, but just can drop back and keep out of trouble, and can storm home if, like last time, can go very close. Land of Plenty for second. Material Man, another Perth one with the Warwicks combining, I thought could be a bit of value in this race. And Brave Smash for four. I wonder if the blinkers will have the same effect as they used to on Brave Smash, Joel.
Well, they went on for the Manicato, I think. Blinkers, I think they were on for the Manicato. I think they went on for the Everest.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Something's gone over my head here, hasn't it?
Well, we're in blinkers on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, blinkers on. Well, yeah, that's exactly right. You never know. That might not. I'm with him anyway.
Yeah, well, I've got him in for four. Elise, Land of Plenty, Material Man, Brave Smash, 11-7, 6-3. Big one. The $1.5 million race for the two-year-olds is race 7, the Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Stakes. Level weights, of course, 1,200 metres. And where do we go here, John?
Well, I really tossed up here because there's a couple that I've sort of, well, been with on their from their debut and found it tricky to split them. I usually tend to defer to the one paying the most, but I haven't this time. I've gone with Loving Gabby. She was good on debut. Didn't think she was going to be that impressive. She did trial well. She was really heavily backed too on that debut, so they're clearly expecting plenty from her. And well, she did that. She was a little bit slow away. She was last the fence in a really tricky position, but she just kept tracking up. And once Damien Lane got her into the clear, she was very strong. Is that the best form? Is the Diamond Previews the best form? I guess it's all a bit of a question mark, but she is an imposing filly, big and strong, and 1200 won't be an issue at all. So I've lent her way. Definitely going to be backing Hawker Hurricane as well. Didn't lose me as an admirer in the Blue Diamond Prelude. Ran home strongly for third behind I Am Immortal. Blinkers, 1200, good draw, all should be positives for him. 14, Andrassy Avenue, I'm going to throw in for third. She might be a bit from left field, this filly. She got back in the Blue Diamond Preview and worked home okay. Went to the Valley and won, like a Blue Diamond prospect should in that class of race, just last Friday night. Good draw. I think 1200 will be perfect for her. And the Hayes Dabernick stable, Hayes runners in this race, just has a really good record, and in particular with horses at good odds, not necessarily the favourite ones. The stable has a good record of getting horses at big odds that are figuring around the money. So we've got a couple in it, Lincoln Star and Andrassy Avenue. I've lent with Andrassy Avenue. And Brooklyn Hustle in for fourth. Not dropping off her off the Prelude run. She got back. She just looked to throw her head around a little bit. Didn't quite settle in the run. It was just a moderate tempo mid-race. And yeah, I thought she hit the line pretty well. And Jason Warren, all he wanted to say in the lead-up to the race was that she would improve stacks off the run. So I think she will, and I think if you've been with her, plenty have, I wouldn't be dropping off completely. But 10 from 2, 14, 13.
Well, my big fun fact about the Blue Diamond in the Best Bets and Winning Post this week was that the last 12 winners have either finished in the Quinella in the Preview or Prelude at their last start before the Diamond, or they have won the two-year-old race 3 weeks before the Diamond, which is Loving Gabby. And the others that are in that category, in other words, ran first or second in a Preview or Prelude at their last start, are I Am Immortal, Shotmaker, Liar, and Vinakunka. I'm with Liar. Even though one of my other fun facts was that a double-figure barrier in this race doesn't stop you, I just thought of the ones that I was most interested in, Vinakunka. Liar had drawn, I still think a gate like five is going to help you in a race like this. For a second, I've got a theory who is not in that category. In fact, has drawn wide and didn't finish in the first two in the Prelude, but I think was probably a better run than Vinakunka. And then I've got Loving Gabby, very much respecting, and Brooklyn Hustle, not giving up on like yourself, Joel. So 7, 11, 10, and 13. Well, the last of the group ones is race 8. It is worth $500,000. It's the Ladbrokes Oakley Plate, 1,100 metres, 18 to face the starter. Shoals scratch, but that puts Crown Witness in, and there's three more emergencies in case there's any more scratchings. It's funny to see that Nature Strip's such a short favourite, and yet four, you, me, Richo, and Rickards have all got our value bet up against Nature Strip in this race.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? This sort of race, I just can't step into anything at 220 in a race like the Oakley Plate, where you've got 18 starters, very even field. He may well blow them away, but yeah, I just had to oppose him at that price. You know, the only time you'd want to be taking that price in an Oakley Plate is with an absolute star, and you know, a proven sort of star. He's won 9 from 13, and he's got that star factor, but I just think, you know, with 17 other rivals, it's going to be the most pressure he's ever copped. So that's the only little knock, is that he's too short. He's in for second. He's clearly going to be very hard to beat. I've gone for Booker, number 9. She's never really been one of mine, to be honest, but she's built up a pretty good record, obviously. She was a really good three-year-old. She ran super in this race last year with a lightweight, 51, I think she might have had. As a three-year-old filly, she was wide all the way and just was very brave, ran fourth behind Russian Revolution. Her spring was a little bit mixed. The blinkers went on second up, and she improved sharply and just missed a Winter Bride. And then don't think she ran 1400 at Caulfield. I think these days she is a better short course mare, and her run down the straight was good behind Divine Quality, giving her 4 kilos. She wasn't thrashed last week in the Lightning. So I'm with Booker. Dean Yendall too, when he gets these lightweights in the big races, got a good record. So 9 each way from 3 Nature Strip, 6 Sprite. A lot of people, I think, when they're trying to find double odds value, coming up with Sprite. She was very good at weight for age through the spring in all 3 of her runs, really. And number 14, I'm throwing in for 4th, I'll Have a Bit. No wins fresh, but she has run well fresh, and her Group 1 runs have been really good in Adelaide in the Goodwood and over in Perth in the Winterbottom. So I think she can add a bit of value to the multiples. 9, 3, 6, 14.
I'm with 10, Eduardo, who is coming off, of course, that startling trial where he certainly went like an Oakley Plater. Has barrier 21, is going to have to cross from there with some horses probably going faster inside him than they were going in that trial. But look, you know, 5 starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds. The lightweights can win this race, although actually saddlecloths 1-5 have been fairly dominant in it in recent times. But look, I just reckon, yeah, $9. It's probably about the right price, but you know, I think, you know, low profile stable might probably start in double figures, and probably would be sure if it was in a big stable. Fell Swoop, one of my favourites for second. If Eduardo can't win, and I'll be backing, I'd love Fell Swoop to win, because of course he really deserves that Group 1 win. Knock on him is, I think you have to go back to 1983 to find a 7-year-old winning the Oakley Plate. Nature Strip for third, Vidora first up for fourth, so that makes it 10, 4, 3, 2 for me. Last race at Caulfield, race 9, Carlton Draft Peter Young Stakes, 1800 metres, Group 2 level.
And we see the re-clash between Avilius and Night's Watch. Look, I was with Night's Watch first up. My loyalty's being tested a little bit in sticking with him. He ran really well. Can he turn the tables on Avilius? Look, Avilius got a really A-plus ride from Kieran McAvoy. Just was able to save ground and make his run at the right time on the corner. Night's Watch went a bit deep. May have just lost a little bit of ground on the corner. But, you know, Avilius was very strong late. So Night's Watch will have to improve. I've lent his way. Really nothing between them. I don't think anything else can win. 9 from 8. 10, Shillelagh. Maybe just looking for this trip quickly this time. Didn't do a lot in the Ore, but her run in the Epsom second up in the spring was good. And, of course, she didn't have much luck in the McKinnon when she got to 2,000 in the spring, so I wouldn't be shocked to see her improve. And 3, Trap for Falls. I'd expect him to be a little bit close to the pace here. He sort of travelled around midfield there in the Carline Cup first up, but I expect with that run under the belt, you'd think that Johnny Allen would be a little bit more positive on him early, and he can settle closer. So 9, 8, 10, 3.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Avilius to beat Night's Watch, despite, well, you pointed out about the ride from Kieran McAvoy last time, and the problem here is that we've got Hugh Bowman on, who's got to ride Winx next week, so let's hope there's no tight gaps that need to be gone through. Avilius Night's Watch. Harlem, you know, Australian Cup winner last year, let's not forget, hasn't done a great deal since, and D'Argento for fourth. 8956. My best, as I alluded to earlier, is race 2, number 1, Arameo, and as I stated explicitly, my value bet was race 8, number 10, Eduardo.
Yeah, well, I've gone easy way out. I don't normally make it this short for the best, but Sikandarabad, I think it'll be chips in at the start of the day. It'll be a long day, I think, if he gets rolled, and Booker is the value in the Oakley plate.
Okay, Rosehill Gardens, the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday. As you mentioned, a couple of cracking colts to come back. And the first of those to step out will be at 1:30 Eastern Daylight Time, and that is Tassort, the half, I think, to Elise, possibly full.
Half to Elise.
Half to Elise.
And a stern as well.
Yeah. Or very cleverly named. Can't remember what the dam is, but...
Essaouira is the dam.
Essaouira is a town in Morocco that is cooled by the breeze off the Atlantic, which is the Elise, and Tassort is the Berber name for Essaouira. So there you go. You know, there's a lot of Wikipedia delved into when they're naming those Godolphin horses. Tassort. Anyway, well, you tell me about this race, Joel. I know nothing about Sydney racing, as you know. 1,100 metres, two-year-olds, Group 2, level weights.
Yeah, well, I've lent to Tassort. He's the Golden Slipper favourite. What he did on debut was outstanding. He only beat three rivals, and this is a step up in grade. But this is, you know, this race is really interesting because we've got two newcomers down the bottom, both by I Am Invincible. Born a Warrior is a half to the quarterback. He cost 1.4, and Ferretti down the bottom cost 2 mil. So expensive purchases. They're going to create heaps of interest. But think Tassort on what we've seen is the one to beat. $1.65. I'll just be watching. Usually I can sort of maybe have a little bit of a spec bet on one of the newcomers, but not for me in this race. Tassort for me. McLaren I've put in for second. Couldn't have done much more. He had big raps going into the Canterbury, started $1.55, got the job done, and you would think would be better for that. And then the newcomers, 7 Ferretti. Both his trials have been the 7.35, 7.40. And be a bit wary of those real short course trials. And Born a Warrior in for fourth.
We skip across to race 5, Hobartville Stakes for the 3-year-olds at 1,400 metres. Level weights, you're not worried by the trials. Gem Song is out. It's just Autumn Sun Bang.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he should be unbeaten. He kicked off at 1,500 in the Stan Fox on the heavy track and traffic issues galore. Should have won and then went to the Golden Rose and the Caulfield Guineas, and both those efforts were just out of this world. So he's the one to beat. Not overly fussed about the trial. You know, Sprite ran past him with Tipping Sprite a life to hope in the Oakley Plate. And it was, what was it, a 1,000-metre trial? 1,400 horse kicking off here. Not really troubled by the trial, to be honest. Three, Gem Song is out. So four Royal Celebration of Elevated to second. He's missed the Quinella only once in eight. He's run second to Gem Song. He's run second to the Autumn Sun. And his only Quinella miss was first up in the English Sprint when fifth behind Fiesta and Esther Jarp. So he's a bit underrated, I think, Royal Celebration. He might run the Quinella. Purple Sector, like him going forward, gave him a bit of a hope first up in the Eskimo Prince. He even exceeded my expectations by running second. 1,400 might still be a bit sharp for him, but we're keeping him close, very safe until he gets up to races 2000 and beyond. And in for fourth, number 6 Vega Days, who, well, you couldn't really pot him at all. 3 for 3, and he'll likely lead and give them something to chase.
Over to race 7, Millie Fox Stakes, Fillies and Mares, Group 2, 1,300.
Nice race for the Mares. Three key hopes, I think, and I found them hard to split. I've gone 9 Moss Trip. I think she's a little bit of value. She was good in the surround in the autumn behind Shoal. She won her next two, went to Brisbane, and didn't really have all favours there around Doomben. I thought her Dane Ripper run was good, and then she came up with 16 of 16 in the Tats TR, and it was just a bit tough, but she wasn't far away. Really liked her trial. She's going to be savaging the line late. 7 I Am Serious, well found, $3.40 favourite. She's ready to go to the next level this prep. I'm talking Group 1 races for sure. She was chasing home Avilius last time in. She won the angst to end her prep. She's been trialling super. and 10 Savatiano, now that they elect to go here. As I said, tougher race, but she couldn't have done much more in the spring. She should have won a couple more than she did, and her trial was nice leading in. And I'll throw number 13, Dyslexic, whose trial was also very good. Missed out on a wet track first up last prep and then found some form. She's always shown talent, and she did run second in the James Carter Moss trip, so I'm just tying those form lines in a little bit.
And finally, race 8. Well, we see your best bet come up here, Joel. It's the Parramatta Cup over 1,900 metres, a listed race, and five of them are resuming over this middle distance, but you're with one that we've seen a couple of times this prep already.
Yeah, and with number 11, Tangled, he was very good first up, exceeded expectations, I would say, in the Carrington, went third to Tom Melbourne, and then he went out second favourite at Warwick Farm, and was a bit disappointing. That was a, you know, it was a heavy, it just sort of improved into the soft six. Hugh Bowman thought the track may have been a bit wet. He's run well on soft ground previously, so if we get a little bit of rain, which I think we're going to in Sydney, soft five, soft six, I think that's okay for him, and getting to 1,900 third up's the key as well. Now, it's not quite 2,000, but when this horse does get to 2,000, his record's really good. Been placed in Spring Champion, a Derby, Rose Hill Guineas, so he's got a bit of class and well-placed on the minimum. Seven, Emperor's Way, looks ready. They went to Caulfield for his second up run. He ran well. He was narrowly beaten in this race last year, I believe. Six in for third, Allergic. I thought he was okay first up at 1,600. He'll be fitter. And nine, High Bridge. He's the query, because we saw him, well, he won a few hurdle races leading into his local debut, and he won 1,900 first up at Canterbury, and he went on to start second favourite in a Metrop and ran fourth. So if there's money for him, I'd be very wary.
Okie dokie.
Tangled was my best.
Yeah, you've had your bet. Invictus Salute, we didn't cover because that was in race six, the Spark of Life handicap for three-year-olds over 1,100.
Yeah, I thought that may have been Black Tie, but it's not. Good field, though. A lot of these resuming, so a lot of question marks. But Invictus Salute, Whitegate is the question mark, but I think she's really smart. She missed out on debut, had a tough run, was a bit green, then blinkers went on and she went bang at Hawkesbury, beat Royal Celebration, who we spoke of before, giving him a chance in the Hobartville, and then ran second at Scone in the Woodlands listed race behind Pretty in Pink, who then ran really well in the spring, and the Furious and the T-Row, so that form held up. We didn't see Invictus Salute in the spring. She trialled well, so we did see her at the trials, but not on race day. May have been an issue there, but she's trialled really well leading into this, and she's got enough pace, I think, to offset that gate.
Yes, indeed. That takes care of Rose Hill Gardens. They're racing on the Parks track at Morfordville. James Jordan, in true Carl Diorio style, has saved his best for the last three races. So you can just take the field in the first leg and then just go blonk, blonk, blonk in your quaddie, plus your parlay formulas and running doubles. And Birdie, race 6, number 1. Illusion, race 7, number 2. And Behave, race 8. Number 12 at Morfordville Parks on Saturday. Any further and better particulars from you, John?
No, nothing for me in SA on Saturday.
Well, we're back at Eagle Farm in Brisbane, and once again, the trainers and owners are loving the new Eagle Farm. Big fields throughout the day, Joel, and your best in value bets come up in the first two legs of the quaddie.
Yeah, and we're hoping we get through the day, because I think looking at the Bureau, they're predicting maybe between 20 and 100, so that's a pretty broad spectrum, but 20 and 100 mils on Saturday, so that could test the new Eagle Farm track out. If we get anywhere near the 100, we won't be racing, but hopefully we get through the card. As you said, first two legs of the quaddie. My best in value, my value is Mullamore, race 6, number 8. I think he's looking for the mile. He's at the two runs back, found the line pretty well, latest over 1,400. I think he's ready to show up, and he's a good price too, much bigger odds than I thought he would be. And then race 7, Reckless Choice, already been well backed, opened up around the $7, I think he's into about $4 now. He was the best bet for us a fortnight ago, he got the job done, he steps up from a class 3 to a class 6. It's a class 6 with a bit of depth too, so no easy task, but he's got stacks of upside. That was a dominant win, and he can handle the wet, so that won't be an issue for him.
Alrighty, Ascot is the venue for Perth racing on Saturday. There is a stakes race. It is race 6, the Detonator Stakes. It's over 1,800 metres, a listed race. And BJ Ryan is with Elegant Blast, freshened up since a luckless Perth Cup run. Good spring and early summer form. Loves the Ascot 1,800 metres. Drawn the pole and is down on 53 kilos. Sean O'Donnell picks up the ride and is good at doing that, according to BJ. I take it that's probably because Lucy Warwick is over in Melbourne. BJ's best, so that was race 6, number 8, Elegant Blast. BJ's best, race 4, number 3, He's a Parker. And his value bet at around about $11 is race 7, number 3, Seeker. Earlier in the day, across the Tasman, Group 1 action, and that's at Otaki for the Haunui Farm Weight for Age Group 1 Classic over 1,600 metres, and much Australian interest, Joel, with Chris Waller and Larry Cassidy, the expats, the prodigal sons, returning with endless drama.
Yes, very interesting, and Michael Kale also across to ride Bostonian. He built up a bit of a partnership with that galloper in Queensland through the winter, won a stakes race on him, so connections have called on his services. So yeah, plenty of interest in that race. I've gone with Endless Drama. He was pretty good first up. Once he missed the start, that was it. Race over, too far back in the Carrington behind Tom Melbourne. Barrier 1, 1600s. You know, some of his best form last prep would be very hard to beat here. 8 Melody Bell, the local mare, out to 1600. She's won at that trip before, so look, she's probably the testing material. 14 more one to the 3-year-old. Plenty of respect for him. And I've included Bostonian in for fourth, number 4. I made Endless Drama my best, and my value is the John Wheeler-trained Rock Your Socks, race 8, number 8. Coming along well, this bloke, out to 2,100, I think is ideal. That's race 8, number 8. And Matter Matter is the other program, and they've got some really good races as well. Three stakes races, in fact, two of them for the 2-year-olds. My best bet comes up in race 7, it's Charles Road. He ran well last time out in the Group 1 when finishing fourth. He's got to give plenty of weight away to his rivals here, but he's the class horse, and 2,000 metres should be ideal now. And my value bet is in the Matter Matter Breeders, race 6 for the 2-year-old fillies. Number 5, Aretha. Really good run on debut when third, and the form out of that race has held up nicely. She's been given a little bit of a freshen, and she's trialled well leading into this. I think she would have come on plenty for that debut performance.
Okay, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post, where we've got form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And Friday night, of course, yet another doubleheader at the Valley in Canterbury. And at the Valley, there is the Typhoon Tracy Stakes, the Group 3 for the 3-year-old fillies. 13 to face the starter, and wide-ish betting race. Multaja we've marked at $4, barrier 10 though. And then you've got Hummer Hummer $5, Blue Rouge $5.50, and Crack the Code $7 are the only ones under double figures. Did you have a look at that at all, John?
Yeah, I did. It is a nice race. Crack the Code's hard to jump off, but I think Multaja, I think she might just be really good fresh. We saw her look, it's just so good first up in the spring, and then just things went a little bit skew-iff after that, but they gave her a freshen and she returned in cup during Cup Week, and I think she probably should have beaten Blue Roche. She charged at them. Her trial the other day was super, so I just think first up she might be an absolute jet, so I'm with Multaja.
All right, and across to Sunday, where we have the Tasmanian Oaks. They've actually been tipping all right in Tassie, and pleased to say that Adam Williams, our man in Tassie, and I are unanimous in our belief that Glass Warrior, the local filly, can take out the Oaks. That is race 7, number 2 for John Blacker. And our best bet, I don't think will be any flash price, is race 6, number 1, Mandela Effect, in the Magic Millions race for 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds. Very smart, Mandela Effect. And Scott Brunton, certainly in form and under the weights, very, very hard to beat.
I don't usually venture to Tassie, but I've seen Pat Carey's filly, Naomi. I think she is a nice staying prospect. So only off a maiden win at Pakenham last week, but I think she's come up around 20 to 1. I just noticed her pop up in my black book. So maybe throw her into your multiples.
Definitely. All right. Well, that is all we've got to say for this week, apart from, which I've already said, get your winning post if you haven't already, apart from the form from Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We get all your favourite columnists and features. And finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. I'm going to roll Joel Avilius, followed by the inevitable each way. So
Sticking with the Tassie horses, they're flying at the moment.
Yep, but I'm not this week. In fact, back to the Avilius style shorty, and that's race two, number one at Caulfield Arameo.
Yeah, look, Sikandar Abad, he's a little bit short. He should be really hard to beat, but I think you can probably all up him into Tangled. I reckon Tangled's going to be very hard to beat in Sydney, so maybe take the all up Sikandar Abad into Tangled.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.